and communicate directly more miles than can be measured, unmeasurable distance, and we can do that directly through our high priest, Jesus Christ. So we bow. Our Father, we do thank you that we can come right into your presence, and that you, when we are asking or communicating things that are directly in line with what our Savior wants, then you hear us, and we thank you for that. And we'd ask as we look in your word that we see those things that you have planned in the future, and we thank you for that because you are a righteous God and you will judge all unrighteousness. Amen. I was thinking this week that I'm pretty sure it's not old age, but there are catastrophic or milestone events that are, seem to be happening more rapidly than ever before. And well, I was talking earlier about how Satan and the world system has the whole political realm where, and by the way, there's three or four divisions among the political realm, but if you want to stay busy with that, you can. And now there's this whole ecumenical movement that they're going to have a big rally on the mall. And I'm not sure what they believe. I watched a little video on salvation, and after about 10 minutes, I turned it off. It's called The Return that they're having, and I still haven't figured out how they do it. But anyway, the God, little G-O-D, of this world has a lot to keep people busy. But one of the things, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, that we as Christians should keep in mind. Now, this helps us relate to the world system. Then we're going to be looking at the world system's judgment. In verse 31, you have some language that is very important. And we also have this over in 1 John. I'm in 1 Corinthians 7:31. Remembering in this context, verse 29 talks about the time is short. And I do hold that that is a reference to a Christian to overcome the world system has to visualize that in the future, the world system is going to be judged. That's why you can treat it as just a means to an end and not the end. You do realize that all these people that are busy in politics, on multiple sides of politics, or in religiosity, that Satan has them staying busy, 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 and not doing what God wants them to do. And when the Christian realizes that the time is short, you don't get busy, busy, busy with the world system as an end. You see it as a means to an end. And in verse 31, we read that they that use, and this talking about this specific world system, as not using it up to the full. Now here is the phrase we're going to go after. For the outward appearance of this world system. Now you have in the King James is passing away. And this word has the idea of a process of passing away. The very fact that we look at the world system and see it's refined and that it is evolving. The world system evolves. That's why there are events currently that happen more rapidly. I was trying to figure out this week. Now, are there more events that are catastrophic or huge events? Or is that because it's the 24-hour news cycle? And I think it's both of them. I think it's both of them, because I'm telling you, stuff has happened in months that used to take years to happen. So it's both of them. But that very evolution and in refinement of the world system is a sign, not a sign, is an indication to us that it's going to pass away. And you know where it passes away? It takes 7 years. It's going to be hammered, stepped on, and lightning bolt, all is going to be completely obliterated to the point that when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom and incarcerates Satan for 1,000 years, there will be no world system for that 1,000 years. Well, there won't ever be again. So when we look then at the book of Revelation and we see these judgments that are coming, they're, I call it their just desserts. The just desserts. Now, I don't have a verse for this, so this is just me. I would think that what we're going to look at today is going to happen in the next 4 years, but that's just a guess. Of course, I lost money on the stock market and in real estate and stuff, so that's just my personal opinion. But I eagerly anticipate these events. You know, I have a verse. You can read it on your own. It's in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, about the fifth or sixth verse. It's on the left-hand column, the last verse on the bottom, that says that we should eagerly anticipate the fact that this recompense, which is a fancy word for repayment, which is a fancy word, or in that context, which indicates judgment, we should eagerly anticipate that the world system is going to be judged. Now, we're looking in the book of Revelation. We're up to mid-tribulation. And at mid-tribulation, all torment breaks loose. Everything becomes exponentially more judgment becomes, the judgment increases exponentially at mid-tribulation. Now, what we're going to do today is very quickly recap the elements that we see in the second half of the tribulation. In the second half of the tribulation, we're going to show you over a period of time how that the judgments, there's seven judgments called the trump judgments, and the seven, I don't have seven fingers, but I'll use five, and the seven judgments called the vile judgments are going to work in tandem, and we're going to be looking at that relationship quite a bit. Now, remember last week, the trump judgments, we want to keep these different in the sense that the trump judgments, isn't that a very opportune word right now? That the Trump judgments are going to be fairly localized. The first three are going to be localized to the Mediterranean area. Particularly, they're specifically designed to protect the saints. Even more specific than that is the nation Israel, because the majority of believers during the tribulation will be the Jews, because remember, they're grafted back into the place of blessing. So the Trump judgments are going to be, at least the first three, are going to be localized and designed to protect the nation Israel. The vile judgments are going to be more universal. Oh, I forgot one thing on the Trump judgments. One of the reasons we know that is in the 8th chapter, we looked at this last week. The Trump judgments are initiated by Christ himself as the high priest. And as Christ himself as the high priest is going to be protecting the saints here on earth. The vile judgments are going to be more universal. They're going to have results that our ramifications worldwide, and we're looking at that. So that brings us then to the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, and we're going to order these judgments. Let me say this. I don't have a verse that's foolproof to prove that the first Trump and the first vial are lined up next to each other, except for this. Logically, when we get to the second vial and the second trump, the second vial, and the third trump and the third vial, and then the fourth vial and the fourth trump, what I'm saying is sets 2, 3, and 4 do line up. And they have to, obviously, 2 would occur after 1. So that means that the first of those sets, that wasn't a very logical sentence. The first set has to be, they have to work in tandem, because when we get to the second violin trump, they work in tandem up through the sixth of that, and then when it gets to the seventh trump, it's going to break off and be different, because there are going to be saints during the millennium that need to be taken care of as well. Okay, that brings us to the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. verse 7. And the first angel, this is of the seven angels that have trumps. Now you have a little idiom in the original language, and that's this. You don't, it uses the verb, and the angel trumps. Well, in English, you would say sounded is trump or blew is trump. You'd add something to it. So the first angel in verse 7, trumpeted would be the exact translation. I would kind of, that idiom means blue is trump. Now remember, the whole idea of a trump is a herald of announcement, to herald something, a monumental event. And there followed hail and fire. I'm back at verse 7. There followed hail and fire and mingled with a quality of blood, and they were cast to the land. Now this is important. This also proves that the trumps are more localized. This word land here, because it has an article, I would take that to mean the land of Israel. And a third part of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. And so a third of vegetation is going to be destroyed, making the fires that we had. By the way, our pollution count was up to like 450, and it's down to, I looked this morning, down to 18. It's good to get back the fresh air. There's going to be a pollution here that has never occurred that we know of. Now, one thing that we need to remember before we get to the first trump, when you get to mid-tribulation and this first trump occurs, it's right after the sixth seal. And at the sixth seal, remember the kings of the north and with some confederacy of northern Africa are going to come into Israel and plunder Israel because they're starving to death. And Israel is the only place on earth for the first half of the tribulation that is in peace. And this is in Ezekiel 37. Yeah. 38, 37. Then that they're going to go in and plunder, and they're going to get the food stocks there. The first trump then is designed to make Israel less desirable. It is during the first trump, right at the beginning of the second half of the tribulation, that the nation Israel is going to be fleeing to the wilderness. So it's kind of a cover for them, and it makes the Eastern Mediterranean area less desirable for all the rest of the world. Last part of verse 7. Parts of the trees were burned up and all of the green grass was burned up. Now, if you know anything about the food cycle, the beginning of that cycle, this would affect all the rest of that cycle. All the rest of the food chain, rather, it'd be a better term, and thereby would make it less desirable to go and try and capture or to... Actually, let's do it another way. I think this gets all the armies that are there out of the land of Israel. Now, if you'll turn over the 16th chapter, or 15th chapter, rather, of the book of Revelation, you have the first vial that is going to occur primarily or approximately at the same time or shortly thereafter. Probably shortly thereafter would be more accurate. Now remember, the trumps herald the fact that God has a very monumental event that he, or a thing that he's going to do, action. The vials, if you look over at chapter 16 and the last part of verse 19, picture God, it's called in the phrase in the English is fierceness of his wrath. And the picture is that these vials hold God's inner burning, and obviously, and you can see in this context, his inner wrath, or his burning against unrighteousness. And the picture with these ceremonial bowls or vials is that when he pours it out, the last word in verse 19 of the 16th chapter, that word wrath is the word manifest anger or gaze. And so as he pours it out, it is demonstrated. Now, when we go to the first vial, you're going to see that God has this wrath held in against this unrighteousness. And keep your finger here. Let me show you how long this wrath has been. Turn back to Romans, the first chapter, has been held in. Now, this means that even when God killed every human being at the universal flood in chapter 7 of Genesis, it still was not the quality of wrath that we're going to see under the vials. Even when all the continents were separated and a lot of people died, that is not the wrath that we're going to see. It doesn't measure up to the wrath we're going to see when we look at the vial and trump judgments. Even when all these things happen from Genghis Khan and all the ones that have slaughtered and the Germanic horde, the Romans, the Mesopotamians, all the people, Mao Zedong, Stalin, Hitler, none of those match to what God is going to do in pouring out his wrath. Now, back in Romans, I want you to get this, because they got it wrong in the King James, chapter 1, verse 18. A quality, it's no article there, not the specific wrath. The specific wrath is during the tribulation. Mankind has never seen this kind of wrath until the day of the Lord comes. Mankind, even in the past, has not seen this kind of wrath until the day of the Lord comes. This is just a quality of it, a portion of it. Verse 18, first chapter of Romans, and a quality of the demonstrated wrath. This is the orgase. This is the one that gets poured out, that's manifest. Belonging to God is revealed from heaven. See, there you get that word orgase, or the word anger, I would translate it, is actually seen, is revealed from heaven against some ungodliness. Mostly ungodly. That word mostly is just tearing me up lately. Mostly ungodly? No, all ungodliness, and the all should be ellipsis right in front of our unrighteousness, and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so what we're saying is, up until the tribulation, it's just been the quality of God's wrath. You see demonstrations of it in the historical accounts of the Old Testament. You don't see any of it being manifest during the dispensation of grace. But when we're gone, it's going to be big time. Back to the 15th chapter, the first vial, and we want to look at the 15th chapter and the 6th verse. And the seven angels, this goes back to the ones that have the seven bowls or the seven vials, chapter 15, verse 6, book of Revelation, and the seven angels came out of the temple. Let's stop there. That temple is the word for Holy of Holies. Now, we know that is a reference to the throne room, and the reason we know that is if you keep your finger here and you'll turn back to the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at the 19th verse. Now, remember the word temple, I'm going to translate it Holy of Holies because it's the inner sanctum pictured or as a antitype of the earthly tabernacle. Verse 19, chapter 11. And the Holy of Holies of God was open in the heaven, the specific heaven. You don't have the article in the English, but it's there. And there was seen in his Holy of Holies the Ark of his covenant. And there was lightning and voices and thundering and earthquakes and great hail. So in this verse that I just read, John has his vision, sees right into the throne room in the third heaven. That's where we are over in verse 6 of the 15th chapter. And the seven angels came out of the Holy of Holies, out of the throne room, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, indicating righteousness, having their breasts girded with golden girdles, that they're pure judgment. And one of the four, now you have in the King James, beast, it should be living creatures. Remember, that's a different word than the one in the 13th chapter that describes the wild beast, the first wild beast and the second wild beast. This one should just be translated living creatures. Remember, around the throne are four cherubim who are the honor guard that guard the throne. Now, God doesn't need to be guarded, but he sets up a protocol, and those four honor guards demonstrate to all the other spirit beings that the hierarchy and his glory. They are highest in the created scale, and they're subservient to God, then that proves who God is. So it's to God's glory. Verse 7, chapter 16. And one of the four living creatures, or living beings, those are the cherubs back in chapter 4. One of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials, or bowls, ceremonial bowls, full of the inner wrath of God, who lives into the age from the ages. And the Holy of Holies was filled with smoke of the glory from God. What this is saying is that inner wrath that God has towards unrighteousness and ungodliness that is in those bowls, that smoke is coming out. And that smoke proves God's opinion of himself. God abhors unrighteousness. Did you know that that's one of the things that you got convicted of when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Holy Spirit told you were unrighteous. I got a verse for that. Okay? But this smoke pictures the fact that his inner wrath that he holds and that is burning that he has towards unrighteousness proves his opinion of himself, that he is separate from and totally abhorrent of unrighteousness. Right in the verse 7, and the 16th chapter of Revelation, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the inner wrath of God who lives in the age of the ages, and the Holy of Holies was filled with smoke. I take that to be from the vials. And from the glory of the God, that would be God the Father, because we're going to get another person in just a minute, another phrase. Now, the reason I would say that's God the Father is because there's an article there, the specific God. You realize God the Holy Spirit is God. He has a quality of God. God the Son is God. God the Father is God. But when in the New Testament, when it's taught generally, there's exceptions. When it says the specific God, and we'll get into that in the morning service if we develop it far enough, the specific God is the God the Father. I'm in verse 8. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of the specific God. I would take that to be God the Father, and of his power. And this is inherent power. This goes back to chapters 1 and 1, where it describes Jesus Christ has been given this inherent power. So that him there, or his, is another person of the Godhead. His power, and no one. Now that would include spirit beings. It doesn't say man there. We have other places where it uses the word anthropos, but here it doesn't. And no one, that would include, remember, Satan's just got kicked out. And remember, when he gets kicked out, all of his demons kicked out. Now, here's the picture. All during the second half of the tribulation, while these terrible vials and trumps are going on and really persecuting the earth, those that are on the earth, up in the third heaven, we won't know anything about it because there's no communication going back and forth. We'll be sequestered. Okay, let's keep going. And no one was able to enter into the Holy of Holies when they come in until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So at the end of the seventh vial, which we'll prove is right when Christ comes back, then that sequestering of the third heaven is lifted. We're going to be like the grand jury, where we'll be in, and there's some things we'll be doing as the church that, let me do it this way. When that second half of the tribulation, I need a Kleenex. Today we can't be too careful with this stuff. Thank you. Now you think I forgot where I was, but I didn't. The second half of the tribulation, when the third heaven goes dark, so to speak, from an earthly point of view, is analogous to the marriage chamber of the marriage process from the Eastern point of view. And then at the end of the tribulation, when the church comes back with Christ, it's no longer called the church. You know what it's called? The bride. So that's just a little nuance to the side. Now let's start with chapter 16. And we'll pick up the first vial in verse 2. Chapter 16, book of Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of the Holy of Holies, the throne room, saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the inner held burning wrath of God upon the earth. So once it gets poured now, it's not that inner held wrath. Now it's going to be a manifest anger. Verse 2. And the first angel, I'm putting the word in there, but that's quite consistent with what it means. And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a... Now you have two words here that are usually translated evil. And so let's just say a real terrible evil. I can't say evil and evil. This is a unfitting, malignantly evil sore. Now the word sore has the idea of boil, and I think it's very analogous to what happened to Job. It's a huge boil. And a boil, now here's where we're going to fix our time, so stay with me. This sore, and a boil upon the mankind, this is the word for mankind here, that would include women, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. Now keep your finger here. That proves, people don't get this, so I want you to get this. That proves the first vial has to occur after mid-tribulation. Got it? Now we're going to go back to the 13th chapter, right at mid-tribulation, and prove that the vial has to come. Because you couldn't get a boil on somebody who had the mark of the beast if the mark of the beast hadn't been given. You couldn't get a boil on somebody that worshiped the image if the image hadn't been constructed and alive yet. So let's go back to the 13th chapter and prove that to ourselves again. The 13th chapter, and we want to look at the 5th verse. Now the 5th verse proves that this is right at mid-tribulation. Revelation 13:5, right at mid-tribulation. Then there was given to him, this is the first wild beast of Revelation 13, and given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Remember, that's the desolation of abomination of desolation. I love that phrase. Abomination of desolation, where he goes in and pollutes the temple, where he declares himself to be, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, A-G-O-D, a god. Speaking great blasphemy means to account something to God that isn't true. And it isn't true that you can put anything alongside of God. Here's the way to always remember God. There is none like him. There is none like him. Then I'm talking about the quality of God. There's none like the quality of God. Okay, verse 5, 13 chapter of Revelation. Great blasphemies, and authority was given to him for 42 months. That's the second half of the tribulation. Now, what does he do with that authority? Skip down to verse 15. And he had this is the second wild beast, was given to the second wild beast to give life or spirit, to actually give rationale, not just make alive and animated, but actually give him rationale unto the image of the first wild beast. That the image of the first wild beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the first wild beast to be killed. Verse 16, and he, the first wild beast, caused all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, bond, to receive a mark on the forehead, a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. You know, people said that's the Social Security. When I was growing up, they said this was a Social Security card. And I remember, I shouldn't tell you this, but I was picking beans and I'd lose my card every year. And so every year I got a different Social Security card. So there's about four Richard Schaefers running around out there. Because I always, you just go into the post office and got one. But that was, times were different. Okay. And that no man, verse 7, should buy or sell, 17, say that he had the mark of the first beast or the number of his name. Now, what that means is, if that occurs right at mid-tribulation, then when we go back to the 16th chapter and the second verse, that means that the first vial occurs just after mid-tribulation. This is pretty easy stuff. Now we still can't prove that the first trump and first vial are in concert. But when we get to the second trump and the second vial and the third trump and the third vial, we can prove they're in concert. Which logically means then the first set would probably be two. But I'm just being honest with Scripture and not supposing more than we should. Now remember, this all comes under the lie. And the lie Satan is perpetrating this even today is that you can put something alongside of God. And we know as Christians, and also in the Old Testament, they knew this. Spirit beings know this. There is none like him. But the lie is that you can get something alongside of it. And you can't. And it didn't make God too happy when he did it. And the people that follow that kind of teaching, it didn't make him too happy either. Okay, let's go back to the 8th chapter and pick up the second trump. The 8th chapter, we'll get the second trump. Now, I shouldn't have to mention this, but it seems obvious to me that the second trump comes after the first trump. So we'll just do it that way. It seems to be a logical progression. Back in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 8th verse, and the second angel trumpeted, or I would say, sounded his trump, heralding that a monumental event's going to occur, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Now, I would take that sea there to be that which is the eastern Mediterranean, and the reason you would do that is because when we get to the second vial, you'll see that it, otherwise there's a redundancy. Now, the other thing I want to point out here is that the third part of the sea became as the quality of blood. That means that it was hot, and it stunk, and it's undrinkable. Now, another thing we want to notice here is that, and I didn't brush up on these terms, but I'm a little familiar with them. This sounds like either a comet or a meteor. Is it meteor or meteorite? Because we're going to get a bigger one later on. I don't know. But if something comes down and just completely pollutes the whole eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, what would that do? Well, first of all, let's go to verse 9. And a third part of the creatures, that's a living, the things that live, which are in the sea and had life, died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. So in the Mediterranean, here's the results of what you have to Israel. In Israel, the shipping is halted and Israel is embargoed. So nothing's getting in and out. Also, a major source of food is going to be destroyed there. You see the creatures. If you're familiar with subsisting living, any culture or cities or whatever that are living by the sea, a major part of their diet comes from that which is in the sea, and it's going to be completely destroyed. So food source is going to be destroyed. Shipping is going to be destroyed so that things can't come in. You see how this is making the land of Israel less desirable. Less desirable. Now, why would God care to make the land of Israel less desirable when the nation is gone? Well, who's over in the land of Israel back in the 13th chapter, in the second half of the tribulation? The second wild beast who has polluted, and the first wild beast came for a while and they polluted that temple. So what God is doing is saying, okay, you polluted the temple, I'm going to pollute the land around you, and it won't be advantageous to even be in that location. We won't hear that much in the second half of the tribulation from the second beast. The first beast, we're going to hear a little bit about him, but he's in other places. So God is kind of just, hey, you wanted it, I'll give it to you. And you're going to pollute it ceremonially, I'll pollute it physically. And he does so with that second trump. Now turn it back to the 16th chapter, and here's where we'll start lining up the trumps and the vials. Here's where we'll start lining up the trumps and the vials. Verse 3, 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. Now this is worldwide. Do you see how the third has to come before the whole? If the whole had already been polluted, you couldn't break off and just pollute a third. Do you see? There's a logical progression here. So this proves that the second trump has to come before the second vial, because you have to have a third before you have a whole. And the second, verse 3, 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, now, or of a dead one, and every living soul, now this is talking about individuals. Now here's a good example that it could say all the fish of the sea, but it's saying soul because it's emphasizing that they were alive, but now they're not alive, died in the sea. Again, food source cut off. Again, life destroyed. Did you know also, here's another thing that came to my mind this week, because we had, as I mentioned earlier, I think our pollution level got up to about the count, whatever that is, up to 450 or something, and over 50 is supposed to give you TB or something. I don't know. But you know where, my point is this. Do you know where most of the oxygen in the world is made? In the ocean. I think it's, I know it's more than half, but I've heard as high as 70 or 80% of all oxygen is made in the ocean. Most of the oxygen that's made in the forest is consumed by the decay, and that whole cycle takes care of itself. But majority, I'm safe in saying this, the majority of the oxygen that is on Earth is made in the ocean. Now, if the whole ocean is polluted, do you see where I'm going here? Their count is going to get way up there. And it's going to, God is, you know, it's not called the tribulation for nothing. Tribulation has the idea of squeezing. He's just, it's amazing to me when I read these trump and vile judgments, squeeze, squeeze. And when you think there's nothing left to squeeze, he squeezes some more. God will judge all unrighteousness, and this is the world system being judged. That's why we can go out here and use this world system, but we do not see it as the solution. We do not see it as the end. The end is our salvation in the future tense. We use it, but we don't use it up to the full. Now, we could go on. Let's see. Yeah, I think we can do the third one. Yeah, let's go ahead and do the third vial. Let's trump and vial. Turn back to the eighth chapter. I thought I might get to the fourth, but that fourth one's going to take probably a long time. Back to the eighth chapter, and we want to look at the. But I hope everybody sees why the second trump has to come before the second vial, and I hope you see the link in how they work. Verse 10, 8th chapter, book of Revelation. And the third angel sounded his trump, and there fell a great star. Now, the star used in the original language doesn't always mean what we mean by star. It just means a luminary heavenly body. In the original language and in the culture of the time, they could call a planet a star. It didn't matter. Just something that's illuminating in the heavens. And from heaven, burning as it were, I'm in the middle of verse 10, as a lamp. So it's real bright. And this could be either a meteor or a comet, I don't know. And it fell a third part of the river and upon the fountains of the water. Now, this is the fresh water. Okay, the salt water, the seas have already been destroyed and polluted, where most of the oxygen and a lot of the food source would be. Now remember, why would the sea food source be more important? Because back in the first trump and the first vial, the vegetation is destroyed, so the animal life would definitely have affected that live off of the vegetation. Now we're going to go out, he goes after the sea as a source. And in the third trump, last part of verse 10, and the third part of the rivers, this is the fresh water and the fountains of the water. And the name of the star, or the luminary comet, meteor, I don't know, called wormwood. And wormwood is like a real bitter wood, and you'll get that in this verse. And a third part of the waters, these are fresh waters, became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. So now in the Mediterranean area, because you got the third part again, there's nothing to drink. So I see this as driving out all the proselytes, all the people that are giving accolades to the first and second beast around Jerusalem are getting driven out of that area. And so it's actually not necessarily protecting the Jews or the people, because they're up in the wilderness or in the desert being protected divinely, but it certainly is beginning of the purification process of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is going to have to be completely destroyed at Christ's second coming and reconstructed. And he begins this process now. Turn over to the 16th chapter and we'll get the third vial. And by the way, you ain't seen nothing yet. It gets worser. 16th chapter, the third vial, verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, again fresh water. Now it's not just a third. You see, it's all. A third, all the concept is a third, because it's got to be greater, or concept is all, because it's got to be greater than a third. Upon the rivers and the fountains of the water, and they became blood, the hot and putrid, it's a metaphor there, and polluted. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, thou art, well, this is interesting, thou art righteous, go back to verse 16, last part, wrath of God upon earth, this is a righteous wrath, thou art righteous, O Lord, and art and were and shall be, because you have judged this, they that have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. This is one of the other places I've been pointing out that there's going to be new revelation during the tribulation for the tribulational believers to understand how to operate, and the of the saints and the prophets, so that it won't be the gift of prophecy, there'll be prophets. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They get their just deserts. Now, think about this. I've never seen this too much in our country, even though our country's judicial system is one of the best in the world. But think about this. This is the first time that the punishment will exactly fit the crime. They are exactly worthy of everything God gives them. They took the blood of the saints, So God's going to make them drink the blood. Think about it. A perfect judgment. That's what the angel is saying. And here in verse 7, I heard another one out of the altar, probably one of the cherubim, saying, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The sentence fits the crime perfectly. The punishment fits the offense perfectly. They took the blood of the saints, they're going to drink blood. Or not drink at all. That's perfect judgment. You have some indication of that of the Old Testament. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Somebody maliciously takes out your eye, you don't put them in jail for 20 years. What good does that do? You just take their eye. Simple. Somebody kills a member of your family and they shouldn't have. Well, that's simple. You just kill them. That's the Old Testament. And God has his perfect judgment. These people are going to be dealing with some of his family, and he's going to take action against them. But I love this. This is the one place you can point where the judgment is absolutely perfect. The angel says that, and the cherubim say that. The cherub says that this is the absolute perfect. What is the exact word? That they are worthy. They actually there's a value to this judgment, and they deserve exactly what they're getting because God has perfect judgment. Last phrase in verse 7, righteous are your judgments. Righteous are your judgments. Think of it. I this is going to be true during the millennium too. The punishment perfectly fits the crime. Now if you go out here, I shouldn't get too far on this, but you go out here and kick a dog, you can get in more trouble than messing with a kid. There's not a relationship to crime and punishment now. But when God does it, it could be perfect. And it's going to be so perfect that even the angel is going to notice that. It's going to be so perfect, even the closest guard, one of the cherubs, is going to notice that the crime fits the punishment. Perfect judgment. And that proves God's perfect righteousness, and that's to his glory, because that's his opinion of himself, that he's perfect in his righteous judgment of unrighteousness. Our Father, we thank you for this future that you will dispense upon the world. And we realize that if we understand what you're going to do to this world and the world system, that we can treat it with kid gloves and stay aloof from it. Use it, but don't abuse it. And we thank you for your word.